You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and John Budden with you on this edition, looking ahead to Tuesday's racing. Lord Budden, how are you?
I am very well indeed, Alex. And I'm looking forward to a winning nap in the next couple of days. And we started the new season, and no doubt you're already on the plus side.
No, unfortunately not, John, but we don't need to talk about that. We're going to start, as always, on the Tuesday's Racing Podcast by doing the Monday Jury, stolen shamelessly from the Racing Post. Six questions coming John's way, and off the back of that, we'll look at his two best bets on Tuesday. We'll start, though, as ever, with the Monday Jury. And the first question, John, is, did the Badger Ales Trophy winner Present Man strike you as a Grand National contender?
Well, the simple answer to that, Alex, is that the Grand National is in April and that we're only just about halfway through November, and we cannot possibly tell what's going to run. What we can say about Present Man is that on the evidence of the Wincanton run, and indeed on the evidence of previous run, he's a galloper who jumps. Mm. And so if he is in the field at the time of the Grand National and he maintains the sort of form he showed at Wincanton, then he has to be a reasonable contender, but there is an enormous gap to come.
There is indeed. We have got the next question, which is, what did you make of Harry Fry's Stable Stars winning return? Of course, that is, you know what I mean, Harry, who was workmanlike over the weekend.
Yes, he was workmanlike.
But he sort of, he always is, isn't he?
And he always is. And I thought, you know what I mean, Harry did extremely well to win. It was a bit too short for him. And so he won't be fully wound up at this moment, because quite clearly he's got some major objectives at festivals in the spring. But it was a decent return, and I would rather imagine that he will go up in trip, perhaps to the Long Walk hurdle next month, and that we'll see a sharper, you know what I mean, Harry. And I would imagine connections were pretty satisfied with what they saw at Aintree.
6-1, you know what I mean, Harry, for the Stayers Hurdle at the festival this year, if you want to back it down. We were mentioning earlier, Present Man is 40-1 for the Grand National, if you do want to get involved with that.
Yes, Alex, I'm not an anti-post better, but I would be inclined to think that 6-1 is a reasonable price for the Harry Fry's star, assuming that he maintains his form. Mm. That's the worry about anti-post betting, of course.
Of course.
You quite don't know what's going to happen.
But no, that is true.
If everything goes according to plan, 6-1 at the moment seems to me a fair price.
Third question is, who else has caught your eye over jumps so far this autumn?
Well, there's one horse which has really caught my eye, and that is Waiting Patiently. I thought Malcolm Jefferson's horse was absolutely splendid at Carlisle. He won the Colin Parker Memorial in extremely good style from a horse who was obviously well fettled up for first-time out run, Bellamy de Picton. He jumped pretty well, made one slight mistake on the far side, but it was a very small error. Otherwise, he jumped extremely well, absolutely straight as a barrel, and he went away on the run-in to score decisively under Brian Hughes. He's now unbeaten over fences, originally trained by Keith Reevely, but has been with Malcolm Jefferson for the last sort of 9 months or so. And I think he's a real star of the future, very exciting horse indeed. And I understand that he's likely to go to Cheltenham for the big handicap chase in December. So Waiting Patiently is the horse that I have taken out of the running over the last fortnight.
Okay. Next question is, who are you behind for the BetVictor Gold Cup at Cheltenham on Saturday? There's betting on the William Hill website right now for that. Carmore Locks 6-1, 8-1 for Tully East, Roman de Senam 10s, 12-1 for Foxtail Hill, Gold Present and Star Architect, 14s Bally Alton, Double Treasure and Le Presien, and 16s and bigger the remainder, John.
Well, we've been talking about Malcolm Jefferson. This I have been banging on about waiting patiently for question three, and not mentioned in that little rundown is the Jefferson horse, who I think's got a big chance if he goes to Cheltenham, and he seemingly is expected to. That is Cloudy Dream, who ran a really big race at the Cheltenham Festival last March and then won at Aintree. And if he is in this race, I think he's got a very decent chance indeed, Cloudy Dream. He's had one race so far this season. He was beaten, but he ran extremely prominently and jumped like a buck, and he's got Cheltenham form. And I would go with myself, Cloudy Dream, but one, of course, does have to recognise that Paul Nichols has got a number of really good horses in this contest. Mm. And, you know, if he picks out three or four, I would go for the one that Sam Twiston Davis is riding. But I'm hoping Cloudy Dream will not be disgraced. I take it he's in the betting.
No, I can't actually find him, John, in the betting on our website. Well, whether that's an oversight from our traders, or whether he has been withdrawn, you know, at the 5-day stage.
Yeah, well, if he doesn't run, he doesn't run. I thought he was mentioned in the Racing Post as being a likely runner for this race. However, he's a horse to watch, whatever happens, Cloudy Dream. I would go for Paul Nichols selected if the Malcolm Jefferson horse did not run.
And it should be a fantastic race, and we'll have full build-up to that, of course, throughout the week on William Hill Racing Radio and on the podcast. I'm sure there'll be more in-depth discussion. Carmore Lock, currently the 6-1 favourite, has been well touted over the last few weeks and months, seemingly, as well. So we'll pay to take a look, particularly once the decks are out, John, won't it, and see what's what in the BetVictor Gold Cup. Same question, or similar question, who do you fancy in Sunday's Greatwood Hurdle? We've got betting for that as well on the William Hill website, with Jenkins 5-1, 7-1 for Defi de Soy and London Prize, 10-1 for Muhead, Elgin 11s, 12s, Misterton, 14s and bigger the remainder.
Yeah, I think Jenkins is going to be very hard to beat, and it's interesting that the money has come for him in the past three or four days, Alex. So I do think Jenkins will run well. Why Defi de Soy is beginning to drift in the market is equally confusing, because this is a horse of real talent, of course. Philip Hobbs won the Triumph Hurdle with him, also a big race at Aintree, and he's obviously got Cheltenham form and is a horse of the highest class. London Prize is the interesting one. Mm. Ian Williams is quoted, in fact, in the Munden Jury today, saying he's definitely going to keep the horse in the 5 days, but he's not absolutely certain whether he'll run him. If he does, you've got to think about London Prize, who I thought won the Elite Hurdle extremely well and has been in excellent form under both codes. And there's one horse I've got penciled around here, and he is in the race, and there's no reason why he shouldn't get into it, but he's quoted at 33-1. Mm-hmm. This is the Paul Nichols trained Old Guard. Now, Old Guard won the Greatwood in 2015. He is, I think, £4 higher. He lost the plot last year, but my goodness, I thought he was fluent when he won a hurdle at Kempton about 3 weeks ago. He flicked through the hurdles like a horse who was really glad to be back over the smaller obstacles and in very good nick. And I do think 33-1, Old Guard, if he runs, is worthwhile considering.
Okay. The 33-1 has gone, John.
Ah.
20s.
Well, he was very interesting, Alex, because he was, I promised, 33-1 in the morning.
Well, I think it could be to do with the fact, I think he may have had a wind up, quite possibly.
I think he has had a wind up.
Yeah.
Yes, almost certainly has. But he was a different looking horse from last year when
he
ran at
Kempton. He's clearly going to be popular then. Or popular at least at a bigger price. 20-1 currently with us here at William Hill. Interesting, just going back to the BetVictor Gold Cup, you mentioned, of course, Cloudy Dream. Both Will Kennedy and Niall O'Reilly in the Monday jury do side with that horse. So unless maybe that we've missed something this morning, or we'll have to wait and see.
That was waiting patiently was under a possibility to run in the Bedfictor Go Cup, but it may well be that Malcolm has decided to wait for other objectives.
But he's got some nice horses this season, hasn't he?
Oh, he's got some very good horses indeed.
Final question on the Monday jury is: give us a young jockey, trainer, or horse, or all three, to follow this season.
Yes, well, the young jockey is absolutely clear as far as I'm concerned, and that is Ryan Day, who is getting a lot of rides now for Nicky Richards and also other outside rides. His mentor is Brian Harding, and Brian's done a great job with young Ryan, who is becoming one of the best conditional jockeys on the Northern Circuit, and I think he's a name to be followed throughout the rest of the season. So he's my young jockey. As far as young trainers are concerned, you can't look further in the north than Ian Jardine, who has got a tremendous record under both codes. Mm. Scobie has. I thought Nakita ran a marvellous race in the Melbourne Cup, drawn 18 on the wide outside. He was prominent throughout and finished a close fifth behind horses who were drawn 1-5, which was a great effort. So I think Ian Jardine is the trainer to watch. And the horse to watch comes from his stable, is Shrewd. Now, Shrewd has run some quite decent races on the flat without winning. He was third, for example, in the Cesarewitch trial. He's one of the best handicapped hurdlers in the business, and he didn't run a single hurdle last winter. He will run over hurdles this winter, and I think he's likely to win a really valuable handicap hurdle. Shrewd is my choice of horse to follow.
Okay. Lovely stuff. We'll move on to Tuesday's action then. We've got a nap and a next best from you, Lord Budden. Racing coming up on Tuesday from Huntingdon, Lingfield and Worcester. And it's Worcester that we start with the next best selection. That comes in the 130, a handicap chase over 2.5 miles. 7 of them set to go to post. You could probably give a squeak to all 7 of them here, John.
Yes, you can, Alex. There's no doubt about that. I mean, it's right at the top is a horse called Dresden, who is actually quite a useful customer and performer. Henry Oliver trains Dresden. Didn't really show up first time out at Stratford, but has run well at Worcester before now and could easily improve. Kerry Lee is always a trainer to keep on the right side of at Worcester, and she's got Town Parks in this race. I saw that horse run last time. I didn't run at all badly. He ran at Carlisle, and he finished a decent fourth behind one of Donald McCain's horses, which I can never pronounce.
Derrintoy Yankin is
yes, who was actually running in Monday's graduation chase at Carlisle. So you'll be able to see whether Town Parks' form has been substantiated a bit with that. Then we have a horse going for a four-timer. It's quite a sort of lengthy period over the mountain of wins that he's had. This is Perfect Timing, who's trained by Neil Mulholland. The last win came last October, and that was a Plumpton, and the winner on that occasion, or the second horse on that occasion, was Gore's Island, very much a Plumpton specialist. Long gap between Perfect Timing's wins, but Neil Mulholland trains this horse, and Neil Mulholland, after a little bit of a hiccup, is in very good form now at the moment, and he also has a quite considerable number of winners at Worcester. So you will then have Rolling Dillon, who represents Philip Hobbs in the yard in the race. Rolling Dillon was second at Hereford towards the end of the season, didn't do much on his return to action. Song Sar represents Tom George, could go quite well. Second at Worcester last time out, stable in reasonable form, could easily improve on that. But I'm going to go with Perfect Timing. Neil Mulholland's horse is, as I say, in very good nick at the moment. This horse is useful, and he could be still on the progress, so Perfect Timing will be the choice.
We'll move now to Huntingdon and the 210 race, which is a handicap hurdle over just shy of 2 miles. Just the 6 of them set to go to post here, but it's a really intriguing race, and seemingly all roads point to Call Me Lord here, Lord Budden, so I shall call you Lord.
a French recruit who has already won a race over here at Sandown. Won fairly well on that occasion, and you'd expect a lot more to come for these connections, wouldn't you?
You would. And the connections, of course, are Simon Mounir and Isaac Schwade, who last year had a bit of a miserable time of it on the whole. But this autumn, their horses have been running really well. They had an excellent win from Footpad on Sunday at Navan, and they've had a big win at Auteuil and a number of wins in this country. And this was quite an expensive purchase, Call Me Lord. Had decent form in France, and as Alex said, won very tidily in a big field, first time out, only time out over hurdles in the UK last season. The Henderson team already striking in pretty good form, so I think Call Me Lord's going to be very hard to beat. There are a couple who could make him fight hard for the lead here at Huntingdon. I think So Celebre has definitely got a squeak, trained by Ian Williams, whose horses, of course, are currently in very good form indeed. And So Celebre's had a pipe opener on the flat, beaten at Kempton recently, but finished fifth in a very decent hurdle at Aintree back in the spring. So Celebre is not without a chance, and so you would have to say is the Nichols runner High Secret with Bryony Frost in the saddle. Again, a pipe opener on the flat fairly recently, but Ascot Stakes winner and good enough to run in the Swinton Hurdle. Didn't actually show much form behind John Constable, but the stable are in very good nick. So High Secret has also got a fair chance. But I'm going to go nap on Call Me Lord.
Lovely stuff, Lord Budden. Thank you very much for joining me on this racing podcast, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you, Alex. Great to see you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.